Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll find assistance programs for survivor outreach and military sexual trauma. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day for us to pay tribute to the men and women who died in service to our country. Minnesotans have served and died in conflicts ranging from the Battle of Gettysburg to our present-day conflicts. And though Memorial Day is set aside to remember those who have died, it is also a day for us to honor their lives and their service. I encourage you to go out into your community tomorrow and attend an event sponsored by your local veterans organizations. Meet the veterans there and listen to their stories. Minnesota Military Radio is hosting a special 3-hour program Monday in honor of Memorial Day. If you're in the Twin Cities listening area, spend the morning with Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 tomorrow from 6 to 9. Or if you're outside the area, listen to the podcast at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Most importantly on this Memorial Day, I want you to know that freedom is not free. Please take a moment from your picnics and barbecues this year to remember that many brave Americans died in order for us to live the lives we have in this great country.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Today's show, we're going to talk about the Army Survivor Outreach Services, United States Army's long-term care and commitment initiative to surviving families of service members who have died while serving on active duty. Survivor Outreach Services provides assistance with benefits and entitlements, referrals for financial counseling and grief counseling, support events to network and other survivors, and works with organizations to enhance services to survivors. And joining me now to talk about that is Gail Springboard. Gail, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Can you tell us, what's your position with Survivor Outreach Services?
My position title is a support coordinator. I'm one of probably about 200 support coordinators around the world that work on active duty installations and in National Guard armories to support survivors of the fallen.
And so you work with the survivors in Minnesota?
Yes.
And how long has the Army Survivor Outreach Services been around?
It came into existence in 2008 when the Defense Authorization Act of 2008 mandated that each branch of the military create a long-term casualty support system. But in the Army, it had actually been in construction before that. In 2005, a warrant officer, John Engelman, was killed in Iraq, and he and his wife had been military family for 20 years. They had two children in elementary school. When he was killed, his pay stopped. His wife was told she could not live in military housing anymore, and the children could not go to military schools anymore. They were given a certain timeline to follow to leave, but it was short, and there just weren't a whole lot of follow-on benefits for them. And so his wife addressed the chief of staff of the Army on her disappointments and all of that, and that was General Casey at the time, and he took her by the hand and said, "Help me change it." So by 2008, the Army was ready with their long-term casualty program, and Mrs. Engelman is still our program manager today.
So at some point in the past, the survivors, the family, would get a life insurance check, and they'd be ushered out, and they were kind of on their own. Is that correct?
They were on their own. They could have been living on military bases for 23 years, and we're told, "You're not a military family anymore. You need to go." And even our families here in Minnesota who may have an active duty service member, or they may have a National Guard service member, they need ongoing support. Things continue to come up. So we're here for them.
Sounds a little bit like the difference between when the Vietnam veterans came home, there was nothing there for them, and today there's a lot. And for these families, there was no counseling, no extra support, and today we're working to try to change that.
That's exactly right.
Now, Gail, what's your background, and how'd you get into this?
Well, my background is more working with National Guard family programs. I've been working in a family assistance center with the Minnesota National Guard, and then I was the state youth coordinator for a number of years. But even as the state youth coordinator, I noticed that once a family would lose their soldier, we didn't know about the family anymore. We weren't tracking them. And I would keep asking those questions when we would have meetings. Does anybody know how this family is doing? So when I heard that the Army was launching this program, that's where I put my passion. And I
volunteered.
I did. I begged for this position.
Let me in. We're speaking with Gail Springboard from Survivor Outreach Services on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Gail, how many Gold Star families do we have in Minnesota, and what type of help do they need? What type of help do they want?
Well, we prioritize our outreach to the families since 9/11, but we will support families of all eras. So no matter what I say, if you're a Gold Star family out there and you need some support, you can give us a call. But post 9/11 Gold Star families, we mail to about 700 homes that have lost someone who was serving on active duty. And even though we're an Army program, we have the benefit of being local in every state and territory because of the National Guard armories. So we are serving all branches of service. So if you're Marine, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, you need help, you call us. And really what we love to do is connect Gold Star families with each other. That's where they get the most support.
And we've seen that at the annual Gold Star Family Retreats. I don't know if they're having those anymore, but on this show, if you go back to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and look at the July 4th show from last year, the entire show was about Gold Star families, and we got the stories firsthand from about 8 of those families. And if you've ever wondered what it was like to lose someone to service in the military, go listen to that show because it'll give you some good insight.
Yep.
Now, I know the families like to get together because if you've lost someone, if you've lost a loved one, a son or a daughter or a husband or wife, and you find another Gold Star family who have the similar something happened, they can relate to each other and they understand and they talk.
Yes.
And it's healing, isn't it?
It is. That is the most healing thing for those families. I think having a military loss has its own little challenges that come with it because you've got constant news stories about more combat possibilities. You see people in uniform all the time. You have Veterans Day and Memorial Day and 4th of July and all these things that constantly stab a little bit and remind you. And yet you're so incredibly proud of that loved one who had served. So an opportunity to share all those remembrances, to say their name out loud, to not have somebody pull away when you start to cry, that's what the peer support does.
Now, Gail, we learned when we interviewed those families that they wanted to tell the story. They want to keep their loved one alive by sharing the story.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know of a Gold Star family, if you see someone wearing a Gold Star pin,
mm-hmm.
I think most people are reluctant to approach them and they're reluctant to ask them.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do? How do we do this without causing more pain?
You know, even I get nervous sometimes when I'm meeting a new family, and I think the first thing to say is, I'm a little nervous, but I noticed your pin, or I happen to notice you have a banner in your window that isn't a blue star, it's a gold star. Can I ask, did you lose somebody in the service? And go ahead and ask what that person's name was, what their story was, what their history was. The family wants that. And we say we'll never forget these young men and women or career men and women who have volunteered to serve in the military. It's such a small percentage. And they volunteer to risk their lives and to train unbelievably hard to do some crazy stuff on our behalf. We don't want to forget those people.
So it's okay if you know someone that's Gold Star, you see that flag or see that pin to say, I see that you're Gold Star. Do you want to tell me about who you lost?
Yes.
That's okay.
That's the way to do it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gail, we've just got a few seconds left in this segment, but you brought along a guest. Can you want to introduce him?
Sure. This is Rick Jackson. Rick is a support coordinator with me. My office is in Albert Lea. Rick is in Cottage Grove. We do have another office in Brainerd. And Rick has a great story himself of his military service.
Rick, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
We're going to get to your story and what you do in the second segment here, but we're about out of time for the first segment. Rick is a surviving crewmate of the USS Iowa which on April 19th, 1989, a turret explosion killed 47 sailors. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk more about the Army Survivor Outreach Services Program in Minnesota when we return to Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jim Kellogg, commander of the Minnesota American Legion. This coming June, over 800 high schoolers will travel to Minnesota Boys State and Minnesota Girls State. They are premier programs in Minnesota for hands-on learning about grassroots democracy. The students will create their own parties, elect their own legislature, and state officers to become better citizens of our great nation. Please join the American Legion family still serving America. Contact us at mnlegion.org. That's mnlegion.org.
Our flag is not one color, though the threads are made of the same fibers. Different colors intertwine to create a bold, vibrant symbol of inspiration for our nation. The Minnesota National Guard is much the same. The Guard finds its strength not only in its diversity, but also in its ability to weave together people of different faiths, cultures, and races with the common threads of patriotism and the love of service. We continually strive to enlist men and women of all backgrounds in our ranks. We must reflect those whom we lead, serve, and protect. The time to appreciate diversity is today.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking about the Army Survivor Outreach Services Program here in Minnesota, and our guests are Gail Springboard and Rick Jackson. And Gail, just a quick overview, the Army Survivor Outreach Services Program, you help families who have lost loved ones to military service, active duty, guard, reserve, all services.
Yes. That's correct.
So if they're in need, if there's something wrong, if they need some help, if they need some counseling, if they just want to talk to somebody, they can get to you. And your website is sos.army.mil, M-I-L.
That's correct.
And that's the best way to find your information and to contact you.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, now you brought with you today Rick Jackson. And Rick, you were in the United States Navy for a couple of years.
I was.
So we can pick on you being a Navy guy in here in the Air Force studio today.
I'm used to it.
All right. Do you want to share with us what happened on April 19th, 1989 aboard the USS Iowa?
Well, we were on routine shooting our guns somewhere near Puerto Rico off of Vieques. And it was a normal day. On that morning, we woke up. We broke to our gunnery stations. We had the Fleet Admiral on board, so we were anxious to show off.
What class ship was the USS Iowa?
The USS Iowa was a battleship, so okay. One of the four great battleships that had served in World War II and had that iconic profile. It was
one
a
of
show
the big
of
ones.
It was brought out under Reagan's new Navy. I think he had a 600-ship ambition at the time, and we were the spit and polish show of force around the world. It was a great ship to be on, had a great lineage, and we loved it. But on April 19th, started like any other day, we broke to our gun stations. And at about 9 o'clock in the morning, there was a call over the 1MC that there was an unexplained detonation in Turret 2. And I was on the topside 5-inch gun mount, and smoke started to bail back to where we were. And immediately we knew something was wrong. The captain had called out that there was a body on deck. And we knew at that point that our ship was in peril. So everybody sprung into action, training took over, and as the day rolled on, we fought fires and flood, and we had to flood the magazine of Turret 2, where they house all the gunpowder, where we were in grave danger of losing our entire ship. So the day rolled on. It was surreal. It still remains surreal to think of. The names of 47 men droned on to report to muster that never had that call. So we limped back to Norfolk 3 days later, 47 men lost. A lot of family members gathered at the pier. A world's media was upon us. And while we were excited to see our families, we knew that there were 47 sailors whose families were gathered elsewhere. And that's something that doesn't leave you.
Rick, I can see in your face and in your eyes it still hurts, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And we lost Ricky Peterson from Houston, Minnesota. So he was a local Minnesota boy, not on board all that long, but I befriended him immediately. Guys that I slept right next to, I lost my best friend, Brian Jones, from Kennesaw, Georgia. And it doesn't leave you, and it just leaves you numb, and nothing in life prepares you for that.
How did you deal with it?
Well, initially, it was shock. We had a med cruise scheduled for June, so we got underway. This is April 19th. This happened in early June. We got underway for a med cruise, and I'm still not sure if that was the right thing to do, but that's what we did, and we got our minds off of it. But after leaving the Navy, it was a lot of probably self-medicating a little bit with alcohol, more than probably the average college student, but then that abated, fortunately. But it was a lot of avoidance from the family members themselves, as a lot of us viewed ourselves as the face of the grief that we'd caused. And subsequently, years later, we've come to find out that we actually need each other. We're survivors. The shipmates are the survivors, and so are the family members, and we help each other connect the dots with the lost.
Now, Rick, you're part of the Survivor Outreach Services Program here in Minnesota, and that incident was 27 years ago. How have things changed over that time? Is there more counseling? Is there a better understanding of survivor guilt and some of the things that you experienced without having a lot of professional help?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. It's changed a lot. As Gail said, 27 years ago, families were on their own. Battle buddies were on their own. Sailors were on their own to figure this stuff out. And through the course of phone calls, Facebook has been great for families and shipmates to kind of reconnect. But to know that there was an actual program that started to connect the dots and do what we had to kind of figure out on our own is great. So it's a formalized program. The Army was first to the scene to set this up, but each branch is now establishing their own programs, and the Navy's right behind the Army.
We're speaking with Gail Springboard and Rick Jackson from the Survivor Outreach Services Program here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Gail, Rick, having that kind of experience in the Navy, that's probably a big asset to bring to his position with you at Survivor's Outreach, because he's got that empathy, he's got that survivor guilt, he's been there, he's done it.
He's perfect to meet these families that are grieving and to truly understand, not only from his perspective, how important it is to have the story out and to have that conversation, but just to offer the compassion and the care that he does. He's wonderful.
And Rick, how does it feel when you're dealing with the families who've lost a loved one to military service?
Well, Gail had mentioned earlier that her heart beats every time she encounters a new family. I have that same feeling. But I do know that there are better days ahead for that family, as hard as it is for them to see. I think the fact that we're standing on the other side, we haven't forgotten, but we've gotten to a better place. And Gail also mentioned that when they find each other, the surviving families, that's probably the biggest thing we provide for these families.
And the families don't want to forget. They want to remember, and remember all the good things, and remember the sacrifice and the fact that they've died for their country.
That's right.
So it's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it?
It is. And they want to recount memories of what life was like for them before the service, during the service. And to get to hear those stories, you can see them light up as they get to breathe life into their loved ones.
Gail, we're coming up on the day each year where we remember those who gave their life in service to our country, Memorial Day.
Yes.
Do you have any advice for our listeners about Memorial Day and what are the best practices that they should take into that day to remember?
First of all, to remember that it's Memorial Day, and so we're honoring the fallen. Sometimes people get Veterans Day and Memorial Day confused. So to families, the phrase Happy Memorial Day isn't very reassuring. It's not a happy day for the families of the fallen. So remember that it is Memorial Day. Don't forget our fallen service members. They gave their lives so that we could continue here in this country the way that we do. So attend the events, if you can, that honor the fallen. Recognize the families that have lost someone, and be available if someone needs help.
So remember, you can still enjoy your holiday, you can still have your family gatherings, you can still have your barbecue, but remember the reason you've got an extra day off is in honor of those who gave their life for our country. And at 3 o'clock on Memorial Day, they call it a moment of remembrance. Take a moment and stop the activities and talk to your family about all the people that have served in the military and paid the ultimate price so that we have the freedoms we enjoy here in the United States of America. Absolutely. Rick, you're shaking your head, yes. Do you have plans for Memorial Day?
Agree, yes. Mm-hmm. Take that time and remember. Share with your kids. I have three kids, and it's very important for me to pass on what Memorial Day means, what service to this country means, and what ultimate sacrifice means. And if you do know a Gold Star family, don't be afraid to approach them and offer your gratitude and expression of love and thanks.
Yes. Thanks, Rick. Gail, we've got about 30 seconds left. Final thoughts for our listeners?
Thank you for caring for our service members, all branches of the military, and never forget the fallen.
And if you want to learn more about Survivor Outreach Services, go to sos.army.mil. Gail and Rick, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Gail Springborg and Rick Jackson from the Army Survivor Outreach Services on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to learn about military sexual trauma and all the programs there to help with those issues. Please stay with us. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is Marvin Windows and Doors. As the world's largest manufacturer of made-to-order wood window and door products and a Minnesota-born company, Marvin Windows and Doors is fully committed to supporting all who have served our nation and their families. Their focus on veteran recruiting shows that they know the value of a skilled veteran leader can bring to their organization. Throughout their headquarters in War Road and locations across Minnesota, their employees have volunteered at numerous military support and honor events and have activated groups to provide support to the families of any employee who is called to active duty. Marvin Windows and Doors has been a Yellow Ribbon Company since June of 2009 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about military sexual trauma. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Chaletot.
Memorial Day is a time to honor the memory and service of all veterans and military who have given their lives in the service of this country. No greater sacrifice could ever be asked of an individual. The service of these veterans has impacted the life of every single citizen in this great nation. It is for that sacrifice that I salute my fallen comrades. Across the generations and across the centuries, Americans have answered the call to duty, and many paid the ultimate price. We can't even begin to contemplate the world today had men and women we honor on Memorial Day not stood fast against our enemies throughout history. It is never over. Missions may end, but the legacy left and the pain of their absence endures. This Memorial Day, let us remember.
Thank you, Commissioner Chaletot. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In this segment, we're going to talk with Linda Van Egren about military sexual trauma. And although many who are exposed to psychological trauma are remarkably resilient and do not have chronic difficulties, trauma can be associated with a number of difficulties, including post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and other anxiety problems, or problems relating to others. Depending on a veteran's needs, a range of trauma-related services are available to help veterans readjust following military or non-military trauma such as combat, sexual assault, and other life-threatening experiences. And Doctor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
I'm really happy to be here.
Doctor, can you give us a little bit of your background? How many years do you have to go to school to become an expert on these type of issues?
Well, I got my doctorate degree from Southern Illinois University and practiced in Chicago for quite some time in health psychology. And I was hired to come to the Minneapolis VA actually to do health psychology, working on psychological behavioral factors that impact health, like smoking and chronic pain and those sorts of things. But I had always an interest and expertise in women's health in particular, but VA isn't known for women's
a lot more men out there than women.
Right.
But that's changing.
Yeah, and much to my delight, the Minneapolis VA was really ahead of the times because they had a nurse-run women's clinic, and I became involved with that, and that led to learning that a number of the women, sadly, who were coming to that clinic had sexual trauma, and working with colleagues to develop programs to or services to address that. And then in 1992, Congress passed legislation to fund women's comprehensive health centers in the VA, and we were one of those that were funded, and I was the psychologist in that health center. So that led to working more directly on military sexual trauma issues for women. I was appointed the MST coordinator in 96.
And MST is military sexual trauma.
Right.
Okay.
And clearly men are also affected by military sexual trauma. And a part of my role is to help both men and women get services for military sexual trauma within the VA.
And doctor, how would you define military sexual trauma? It's much more than just one incident.
So it's a VA term that refers to both sexual harassment and sexual assault that occurred while one was in the military. It doesn't have to had the perpetrator didn't need to be a military personnel. It could have happened while you were on leave. So it's any kind, it's a very broad, and it's meant on purpose to be very broad. So sexual harassment is the way that we is commonly defined, repeated, unwanted, verbal or physical contact of a sexual nature in the workplace. And sexual assault has to do with being forced to have sexual contact, a wide range of different kinds of sexual contact against one's will or without one's consent. So that can include things like being intoxicated or under the influence of a drug, so you cannot give consent. That would also be included as sexual trauma.
And some of this could just be some verbal harassment, couldn't it?
It could be, yes, if it's repeated and, yep, and that has real impact on people.
Now, doctor, you said that the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center takes care of the veteran or the service member. And here in Minnesota, a lot of those are Guard and Reserve.
Yes.
So if they experience some type of sexual trauma at home or with civilians or however it might have occurred, they're still eligible for your services.
Well, it's a bit different. Actually, it's just recently been expanded. The legislation has been expanded to include reservists and National Guard while they're on drill weekend or certainly while they're deployed. So it is a bit more restricted for Guard and reservists. But yes, they can, and they wouldn't otherwise be eligible maybe for VA care, don't formally have a status of a veteran. But they can get help for sexual trauma if it occurred during drill week or while on deployment.
We're speaking with Dr. Linda Van Egeren from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center on Minnesota Military Radio. And doctor, in my briefing papers say that for our veterans, they do not need to have a VA disability rating to mm-hmm. receive services, and they do not need to have reported the incident.
Yes. So this is really important to emphasize because a lot of times veterans think that they're not eligible because they aren't service connected or did not report it. And we know that with sexual trauma, it's rarely reported and for very good reasons. So the legislation is written very broadly so that a veteran can get the help they need. They don't have to jump through hoops to get service connected. They can just come here and say that this happened to them, they were harassed or they were assaulted while they were in the military and they want help, and we provide the help free of charge. So there's no co-pays as well, and if they're not otherwise eligible, I can help them get into the system to get the MST care.
So for our listeners, if you've been a victim of military sexual trauma, all you have to do is get a hold of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center and ask for the MST, stands for Military Sexual Trauma, MST coordinator, and they'll put them through to you.
Yes.
Now, doctor, you've been working on this for some years now.
Mm-hmm.
What type of treatments can they expect?
A broad range of treatments. We are a very complex medical center. We have a very large group of well-trained mental health staff. So, and we have a large group of staff who are trained specifically in military sexual trauma. So it depends upon what the person's needing, because military sexual trauma results in a wide range of problems. We usually think of post-traumatic stress disorder, and that's certainly a type of problem that is commonly associated with sexual trauma. But that's not the only kind of problem. It may be more of a depression. It may be more of an anxiety disorder, eating disorder, even sexual issues, interpersonal problems, anger. There's a whole range of problems that people struggle with after sexual trauma. And so we have a whole range of different kinds of treatments and therapies. We have individual psychotherapy and we have group therapy. We have some that are specifically focused on trauma, trauma-focused therapies that are have really good evidence and are research-based. So we have really a quite a spectrum of options.
Including some couple and family therapy if necessary.
Yes, we do offer couples and family therapy as well.
Doctor, we're running out of time in this segment, but we'll be back in a moment to talk a little more about military sexual trauma with Dr. Linda Van Egren on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phalon Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985 and would welcome an opportunity to help you.
Hello, this is Stephen Whited, adjutant of the DAV Minnesota, looking for volunteer drivers to help transport our Minnesota veterans to their appointments at VA medical facilities around the state. The DAV Minnesota has provided vans for this use and work with our county veteran service officers, provides transportations to get our veterans to their medical appointments. We need volunteer drivers all over Minnesota. Please call the DAV Minnesota headquarters to help with this mission. Please call 651-291-1212 or visit davmn.org. Please volunteer today.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Dr. Linda Van Egren about military sexual trauma. The doctor is the MST, Military Sexual Trauma Coordinator, for the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And if you have experienced something like this and you're a veteran and it happened while you were a veteran, please call the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center and ask for the MST coordinator, and they'll put you through to the doctor. And when we're, doctor, when we're talking about military sexual trauma, we're talking, it refers to sexual assault or repeated threatening sexual harassment. It also includes sexual activity where someone is involved against his or her will, unwanted sexual touching or grabbing, threatening, offensive remarks about a person's body or sexual activities, threatening or unwelcome sexual advances. And both men and women can experience military sexual trauma. It's kind of a wide range, isn't it?
It is a wide range, and the it has a tremendous impact. It's a difficult thing to for some people to deal with and recover from because it's interpersonal in nature. So it has affects many areas of one's life, particularly relationships, and that can really be complicated to deal with. A good place to begin is to have a good understanding of the kinds of problems you're currently having and how it may be related to the military sexual trauma, how it makes sense given what happened to you in the past. And in order to help veterans do that, we offer every 3 months or so a military sexual trauma psychoeducation group where we provide a lot of really good information. And it's often the first time that the veterans are really examining how what happened to them is currently affecting them. And we talk most importantly about what helps with those kinds of problems. So it's a good beginning. It's a good way of learning about services at the VA and figuring out what kind of help you're needing.
Doctor, is it possible that people could be struggling today from something that maybe happened years or decades ago?
Absolutely. We've had veterans in their 80s come forth for the first time and talk about military sexual trauma that happened maybe 50 years ago. So it's never too late. It's a hard thing to lots of people live silently in very isolated with what happened to them. Have a real hard time sharing that with anyone, and it makes a big difference to be able to finally be able to reveal what happened, make sense of it, get support, get help. It really can change one's life.
Doctor, it would seem to me, I've been out of the service for 40 years, but 40 years ago, a lot of people just didn't talk about these things and didn't seek help. But I've also observed that today, people are more willing to seek help quicker and get help and then get back to work. Are you seeing that? Is that true?
It is true. And there has been more awareness. There's more education about sexual trauma. There's been outreach to really try to engage veterans and service members who have experienced sexual trauma more recently to get help. And we know one of the big predictors of recovery from sexual trauma is support. So it matters. If you can get really good support, it has a very positive impact in terms of recovery. And we're doing a better job of getting the word out and getting support to people early on in the process. But we still have a lot of work to do in that regard.
So part of the cure, if you will, is to get it out in the open, talk about it, learn about it, deal with it head on, mm-hmm. and then put it behind you and move on with your life.
Exactly. You can't, of course, change what happened, but you can make sense of it. You can learn to that the ways that one responds, try to cope with it, may, like using alcohol, for instance, or avoidance, actually is very impairing. And getting help with those problems really makes a difference in one's quality of life.
So you really shouldn't ignore it.
Right.
So, Doctor, one last question. How can family and friends help the loved one that might have experienced some military sexual trauma?
Well, as I said, support is really, really essential. It's important to meet the veteran or service member where they're at. They may not be able to tell you much and to be respectful of that, but inviting to let them know that you're there for them. If they want to talk about it, you're supportive and willing to hear what they have to say. That makes a huge difference, but not pressuring them to reveal more than they're ready to reveal. Being patient helps a great deal, and encouraging them to get help.
And you and your associates are there to help, and you're ready, willing, and able.
We are.
All right, Doctor, I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Okay.
That was Dr. Linda Edgren talking about military sexual trauma. And for all our listeners, if you know someone that needs some help with that, or if you need some help yourself, simply, and you're a veteran, simply call the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, ask for the MST, stands for Military Sexual Trauma, the MST coordinator, and the doctor will be happy to help you. Joining me now is Lisa Klink, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer. Lisa, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Lisa, I understand today we want to talk to some of my fellow Vietnam veterans and give them an update on some things that have happened to them since decades ago when we were exposed to a defoliant called Agent Orange. And there's been some changes over the last decade or so. They have a list of diseases that are presumed to have been caused by Agent Orange. And I understand there's some changes, more changes coming.
Yes, yes. Actually, some good news for those of us who, for those of you who have suffered from those conditions, kind of keeping in mind that Agent Orange was, like you said, an exfoliant, but a dioxin, which is very highly poisonous, and definitely that's something that you should ingest or drink the water or be around. So the interesting thing is in April timeframe, the VA has recently received a study that was done with Agent R exposure and some evaluation of the folks that have been seen at the VA Medical Center. And this is why it's so very important to make sure you get on the Agent Orange registry, because these are linked up to those inherent diseases or conditions, and they look at the statistical analysis, they look at the actual physical illness and what's related to it and the commonalities. So the interesting thing is that bladder cancer is something that they've seen an excessive amount of in exposure to Agent Orange for Vietnam veterans. Hypothyroidism, interesting enough, they're looking also at Parkinson-like symptoms. So symptoms that are prevailing, you know, in advance before you actually get Parkinson's and are diagnosed with it. So those are the three big ones that they're looking at that will be seen, that will be seen. Now, granted, it has to go through the process of the VA and notification and public hearing and such, but, you know, it could take 2 years, but this is also something that we could apply for now, and they could look at it going backwards like they did ischemic heart disease. The other big one, I think, is hypertension. And I thought that number was pretty astounding, because they're looking at 307,000 Vietnam-era veterans and that are related to having hypertension. That's kind of a no-brainer to me. So,
now, Lisa, a lot of my buddies had an initial contact with the VA, and they didn't like it, and maybe laid low, and maybe don't know about their county veteran service officers, maybe don't even have their DD-214. What should they do?
Well, they need to see their county veteran service officer, because they are their advocate to the VA. And we are here to help you and to support you. And it's, you've served your country, you've earned this, and it's their responsibility to take care of you. They expose you to these. It's like any other employer. They need to take care of you. And we are here for you as CVSOs, and we're in every county. Definitely, you know, if you're interested in who your CVSO is, go to macvso.org, and you can go into the directory, look up your county, and you'll get the name of your CVSO, their phone number, their email, their fax number, everything you'd actually need to know and how to get a hold of us.
So if you're a Vietnam veteran out there listening and you've never done it, go meet your county veteran service officer, talk to them, they'll ask you some questions. There's help waiting for you, and your county veteran service officers are trained, ready, willing, and able to help. Lisa, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you. You have a great day.
This is Lisa Klenk, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer. We have one mention today. Please nominate a veteran by Friday, June 3rd, for Minnesota's Humanity Center's Veterans Voices Award, which recognizes and amplifies Minnesota veterans who served honorably and are making extraordinary community contributions. Nominate actively engaged former or current military service members into the one of two categories: on the rise for 40 years of age and under, or legacy over 40. Go to mnhum.org/vets to nominate a veteran. And once again, you have to do that by Friday, June 3rd, for the Minnesota Humanity Center's Veterans Voices Award. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week: Gail Springboard, Rick Jackson, Dr. Linda Van Egeren, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us for our live Memorial Day special from 6 to 9 a.m. on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, or iHeartRadio. And you can also catch the podcast, which will be posted each hour Memorial Day morning at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Please join us next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.